Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Okay, it's a Sunday after Labor Day. To some of you, Monday was a day off. For others, it was just another day. But did you know that Labor Day started as a day to celebrate freedom? In the late 1800s, at the height of the Industrial Revolution, people worked in factories 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, including children as young as six. They worked in mills, factories, and mines with no access to fresh air, bathrooms, or even water. As more people worked in factories than on farms, labor unions began organizing strikes and rallies to protest these inhumane working conditions. The unions pressured employees to reduce work hours and increase pay, a movement towards freedom. Chicago is important in this history of freedom. The Haymarket Riot in 1886 started right over here on the corner of Randolph and Des Plaines Avenue. Workers were trying to create the 8-hour workday. Someone in the crowd threw a bomb and 11 people were killed. That same year, the American Railroad Union in Chicago called for a boycott of all Pullman railway cars, which stopped trains all over the country. To break the Pullman strike, the government sent troops to Chicago. A wave of riots resulted in a dozen workers being killed. Because of this, union labor laws were created, which still protect us. Labor Day is about freedom. So it's no coincidence that all three readings today are also about freedom. In the first reading, Moses reminds the people of Israel they had the freedom to choose. They're free to choose bondage to God and life, or to choose bondage to sin and death. Either way, they choose to be bound to something. In the second reading, Paul writes a letter to his rich Greek friend Philemon about Philemon's slave, Onesimus. Paul asks Philemon not only to forgive Onesimus for running away, but to take him back as a free man. Paul reminds Philemon that Paul, is not free, but is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul tells Philemon that he has the freedom to hold on to his slave Onesimus, or to grant Onesimus his freedom as a brother in Christ. In the gospel, Jesus says this, which makes us squirm a bit. If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he can't be my disciple. Ouch. Is Jesus anti-family? No. Jesus is not calling us to hate our father and mother. The Greek word for hate is miseo, and it means to like something less than another thing. Hate does not mean we have to start disliking our family, but we're to love them less than Christ. Jesus is calling us to commit to Jesus above all commitments, including commitment to our family. And then, depending on your relationship with your family, Jesus gives an even harder demand. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up your possessions. Distance myself from my brother-in-law? No problem. Give up my 1980s bubblegum card collection? Unthinkable. Jesus is asking us, do you own your stuff, or does your stuff own you? Jesus knows our stuff, our bubblegum card collection, could make it difficult to follow him. It's easy to dismiss this with a wave of the hand. Oh, that it's not me, until you start to consider how much stuff is stored in our homes, and our attics, and our garages. Anyone have a garage with everything in it except a car? Just like Moses, Jesus calls us to bondage to God instead of bondage to our earthly possessions. But in this bondage is where we find freedom. This is how Martin Luther describes freedom. He begins with these two seemingly opposite statements. A Christian is an utterly free person, Lord of all, subject to none. It's because of human choice. A Christian is an utterly dutiful person, servant of all, subject to all. This is because of God's love. We have freedom to choose. Just like the Israelites, our human choices can get in the way of God's love. So I'm going to give you an example of human choice versus God's love. Imagine a dog with a juicy steak in its mouth, staring down at a pond. Reflected on the surface, the dog sees another steak, bigger and juicier than the one it already has. That's how temptation works. The dog tries to snatch the reflected steak, but the moment it opens its mouth, the real steak falls in the pond and disappears. In going after the reflection, the dog ended up losing what it already had. This is the tragedy of human choice. We want to seize by violence or cunning what's already been given to us by grace, God's love. When we don't believe in the gospel, we spend our lives choosing substitutes for God's love. We think in our hearts, if I could only get that job, or find that partner, or get straight A's, or have the perfect body, or get rid of this compulsion, then I would be happy and fulfilled. So we drop the stake. Our choice to not accept God's love keeps us in bondage to sin. God's response to our not choosing God's love is not punishment, it's healing and liberation. Accepting God's love sets us free. This freedom empowers us to continue God's healing and liberation of ourselves and our neighbors. God loves us all passionately. We receive all the beauty, love, holiness, righteousness, and eternal life that belongs to Christ. Christ is ours, and we are Christ's. Luther calls this the happy exchange. It is by faith that we accept God's grace and love for us in Christ. And love wants to love. Love comes from having faith. Love is the mark of a true Christian. And in this love, this is where we find our freedom. This is how Luther explained it, quote, Christian individuals do not live in themselves, but in Christ and their neighbor, or else they're not Christian. They live in Christ through faith and in the neighbor through love. Thus, a Christian is utterly free and utterly dutiful at the same time. Freedom comes from knowing God loves us. Freedom comes from letting go. Freedom comes through giving away and trusting Jesus. In Christ, we are free people, free to choose life, free to choose faithfulness, and free to open our arms wide and receive the free grace of God. This is the God who chooses to never stop loving us. We are free to choose. We are free to choose God's love. And we are free to serve. So, dear church, come to the table and receive the love of God. Then go and be free. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.